Most people that I know of want a life of surety and certainty. We've been singing about that this morning, standing on the promises, I know that my Redeemer lives, blessed assurance. And most people I know want that. That sense of certainty, surety, security in their life. Peter writes in 2 Peter chapter 1 in verse 10, "Wherefore, brethren, give the more diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never stumble, for thus shall be richly supplied unto you the entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." Peter says to make your calling and election sure. Some versions say certain. Just like we would want our physical lives to be sure and certain, I'm here to tell you this morning that our spiritual lives, our relationship with God, and even our eternal destiny can and should be just as sure and certain. I want to talk a little bit this morning about making our calling and our election sure. This year has been, for many, a year of uncertainty, and we certainly understand that in the physical realm at every turn, there are uncertain things. That's the nature of the physical and the material and the earthly. It is uncertain and it is unsure in many ways. But we can be sure with regard to God and going to heaven. When I think of certainty and surety, I think of how we want that in our lives, especially regarding our work and our health and our relationships. We want to know that we have a job. We want to know that we can support ourselves and our families. We want to know that our health is good. We go to the doctor. I did that this past week. We want to check our cholesterol and our blood work, and we want to check our heart. And as we get older, there's certain things we want to be certain about. So we go to the doctor. We go to Don when we feel like we're not seeing right. We want to make sure that we don't have something major going on with our eyes. Are we developing glaucoma? Are we developing cataracts? Or do we have macular degeneration? We're concerned and we want to be certain. And so we go to the doctor and get checked out. We want certainty about our health. We want certainty about our relationships. We want to make sure that our marriage is solid and that our spouse is not going to walk out on us. We want to make sure that our parents are always going to be there for us, or our children are acting in the right way. Relationships with others, we want those to be sure and certain. This morning, Peter is going to remind us, brethren, that in a world of uncertainty in many ways, we can be sure when it comes to our salvation. We do have that blessed assurance. And so our text this morning is 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 10 and 11. I want us to walk out this morning reminded from Peter that we can be certain and sure. Do you want certainty? Do I want certainty regarding our eternal destiny? That's the most important thing. Work is important, and health and relationships, obviously. But our eternal destiny, that's what we want to make sure of this morning. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 6, the same word from Peter, sure or certain, is found here in the book of Hebrews. The word literally means to walk on a firm path. You're walking on something where you have a firm footing. The Hebrew writer will use the word firm, or our English translations will use the word firm. It's the same basic word as found in Peter. And the Hebrew writer is talking about our eternal destiny and talking about how that we are the spiritual house of Christ if we hold fast our boldness and the glorying of our hope firm unto the end. Our eternal destiny can be firm this morning. It can be sure and certain. And Peter's going to tell us how to do that. In chapter 3, in verse 14, he uses this word again. And notice the if. We're going to talk about some conditions this morning. If we hold fast our boldness firm unto the end. And verse 14, for we are become partakers of Christ if, again the condition, if we hold fast the beginning of our confidence firm unto the end. The Bible does not teach once saved, always saved. We have to remain faithful. But at the same time, the Bible does not teach that every day is just completely uncertain. We can be sure of our calling and our election. Just as sure as the earth is round, or just as sure that the sun is going to come up each morning. There are some things in our lives that we are very sure about. We don't have any doubts about it whatsoever. And that can be the same with regard to our eternal destiny. And I want us to be certain and sure this morning. Who wrote 1 and 2 Peter? Think about the author of these two books for just a moment. Who wrote 1 and 2 Peter? The Apostle Peter wrote 1 and 2 Peter. And what do we know about that man? Was he not a man that had to grow to certainty and surety? Here's a man that gets out walking on the water and then he begins to sink when he sees the waves. Here's a man who denied the Lord 3 times. That doesn't sound like much surety and certainty there. There were times in Peter's life when he was immature and uncertain and unsure and waffling and back and forth. And this man has to grow. And when he grows to a point, the last thing that he writes in his life that we know of is the very thing that he did in his own personal life. And that is growing to the maturity, to the point where he is sure and certain about his relationship with Christ. We don't find any word in 1 and 2 Peter of a man who's denying the Lord and wondering about whether or not he should serve the Lord. We find him quite confident. And so when Peter had grown this way personally in his own life, he writes 2 books about the very thing that he had to do, grow. Are you familiar with 2 Peter 3:18? Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior. That's the very thing Peter had to do. The very last word of Peter is the description of his whole life. That's interesting. And Peter also writes about surety. And that's what he had to learn to do himself. So what we're reading this morning, not only is coming from the Holy Spirit, but it's coming from a man who had to personally experience these things in his own life and learn how to be sure and certain. I want to talk this morning about how that Peter tells us that we can be sure and certain. And hopefully that will give us some comfort and consolation and encouragement in the world that we live in to not only keep being faithful, but know that we are faithful. Know that if the Lord were to come or if we were to pass from this life, we could have entrance into the eternal kingdom of God. What is the opposite of surety? Well, of course, it's doubt. I want to talk a little bit this morning before we get into the body of the message about what Peter does not want us to be. Peter does not want us to be doubting. Well, I don't know if I'm right with God. I don't know. There are three things that doubt will do in your life and in mine. If we don't make our calling and election sure, then what we're doing is we're living in doubt. And the first thing that doubt will do is it'll break up and destroy any peace and joy that can be in our life. Rather than being happy, rather than being content, rather than going to bed at night, recognizing that we're in a right relationship with God, we're always in turmoil. We're always sad. We're always wondering. There's stress and concern and consternation. So doubt breaks up our peace and our joy. The second thing that doubt does is that it wastes our spiritual energy. We're spending all of our day talking about and thinking about how that we don't know if we're right with God, when those thoughts and those energies and that thing that we could be doing would be for a positive effect. We're wasting that spiritual energy on doubt rather than thinking about the positive things that we're supposed to be thinking throughout the day. It's all negative and it zaps our energy. And then third, it's certainly not attractive in any way. We're not going to bring someone to Christ by telling them, I don't know if I'm right with God. Somebody's going to look at us and say, well then why? Why would I want to convert to Christianity if you don't even know that you're saved? So if we're constantly talking about, I don't know this and I don't know that and I'm not sure of this and I'm not sure of that, the people that hear us are not going to be attracted to following Christ. What Peter says is we need to be sure. And he's going to tell us how. Let's talk this morning about eternal surety. Not eternal security, they're similar. But eternal surety. How can we be sure that we're going to have entrance or gain entrance into the eternal kingdom of Jesus Christ? Well, the first thing that we need to do is we need to give diligence. Peter says in verse 10, wherefore, brethren, give the more diligence to make your calling and election sure. The first thing we need to do is we need to make sure that we are diligent in serving Christ each and every day. And Peter uses a word that means literally that has two components to it. One is a time component, make haste, do it quickly, and the other component is a work component. So we are spending our time quickly exerting effort. One version that I like says make every effort to make your calling and election sure. How can we be sure this morning? Well, if I am diligently serving God each and every day to the best of my ability, I'm making every effort I can in the things that God wants me to do, I can be sure. Peter's going to use this word back in verse 5. Look at it. For this very cause, adding on your part all diligence in your faith, supply virtue, and we're going to talk about what we call the Christian graces in just a minute. But notice how he uses the word diligence back there. We have to be diligent in adding to our faith, and we'll talk about that. Look at verse 15 of the same chapter. Peter's talking about how that he's going to pass from this life, and he wants to be diligent about sharing the word of God with others so that they can remember, I will give diligence that at every time you may be able, after my decease or passing, to call these things to remembrance. Peter knew that his life was coming to an end, and so he's getting after it. And then look at chapter 3 and verse 14, where he uses the word again with regard to the earth passing away and the new heavens and the new earth. Chapter 3, verse 14, wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for these things, that is the passing of this world, and then the new order to come, heaven itself, give diligence that you may be found in peace, without spot, and blameless in His sight. We have to be pure with sin removed, but we've got to give diligence for that. We've got to get up each day and make haste and exert ourselves as much as we can spiritually to be right with God. Make every effort. When we do that each day, God will see that. And we can have an election and a calling that is sure. We don't have to walk around in doubts. We must give diligence now. This same word again is used in the book of Hebrews, if you'll turn with me there. The problem with the Israelites was not that they didn't know where they were going, or they hadn't been told, or they hadn't been given enough information. The problem was their diligence factor. They got started great. They came out of Egypt. They crossed the Red Sea. They got going. Their problem was their diligence. And so after talking about how that the Israelites fall in the wilderness and they don't make it to their rest land, the Hebrew writer says for us as Christians, let us therefore give diligence to enter into that rest, that no man fall after the same example of disobedience. What example? The example that he had just been talking about from verse 1, the Israelites who fell in the latter part of chapter 3, the Israelites who fell and didn't make it. Give diligence to enter into that rest. That's heavenly rest. And so we've got to do that. They came out of Egypt. They came out of bondage. We come out of sin. They passed through the Red Sea. We passed through the waters of baptism. But the problem was they didn't give diligence. And so they fall in the wilderness. The word of faith was not coupled with obedience, the first few verses of chapter 4. And chapter 4, verse 1, we don't want to come short of heaven. So give diligence. Look at chapter 6 and verse 11. And we desire that each one of you may show the same diligence unto the fullness, that's a word that means assurance or confidence, and that's what we're talking about this morning. Show the same diligence unto the fullness of hope, even to the end, that you be not sluggish, but imitators of them who through faith, he's going to talk about Abraham in a minute, and patience inherit the promises. Did you notice in the book of Hebrews, the word end shows up several times. The end. You got to get to the end. It's not enough to start. It's not enough to be going through the middle. You got to get all the way to the end. Heaven. And right now that's going to take some work. Making every effort. Are we truly making every effort? And Peter says if we are, then we can be sure. What Peter is talking about here, brethren, is it's in every Christian's power to do this. Peter says to make your calling and election sure, you need to do something. And I'm here to tell you that it's in every one of us here this morning, the power to do that. And we can make every effort. Peter then says these things. Wherefore, brethren, give the more diligence to make your calling and election sure. It's something that we need to do. For if you do these things, you shall never stumble. Number one, we have to give diligence. Number two, we have to do some things. Well, what are these things? What are the things that Peter has been talking about? If we give diligence, and then number two, if we do these things, it is the things that he had been talking about in verses 5 through 7. What we call the Christian graces. And that makes a great lesson in and of itself. We're going to go down through and I'll have a few comments. It makes a great standalone lesson, what we call the Christian graces. But these are things that we have to be doing each and every day and making every effort to do them. And when we do that, Peter says, we will not stumble. He's talking about, obviously, stumbling spiritually, where we fall into something in our life that is going to keep us out of heaven. These things. If you make notes in your Bible, you'll want to underscore the phrase, these things, three times, verse 8, 9, and 10. Peter has been talking about some things that we must add to our faith, and we're going to read that in a minute. And then he says these things in verse 8. He says these things in verse 9. And then he says these things in verse 10. So let's talk about that. These things. These Christian graces that we're supposed to add to our faith. Peter says in verse 8, if it's conditioned. It's up to you and me to have these things in our life or not. It's a choice that we make each and every day. If these things, the things of verses 5, 6, and 7, if these things are yours and abound, they make you to be not idle nor unfruitful unto the knowledge, the full knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Number one, they have to be ours. They can't be our parents. They can't be the one sitting down the pew. They need to be ours. Each of us as Christians, we need to make them our own. And he says, abound. Not just stay stagnant, but we're always working on these things to do them more. If these things are ours, we will not be idle. And we will be able to have a sure calling. Then verse 9. He says, for that he that lacks these things, the Christian who won't add these things to his faith. If I lack these things, what's the issue, Peter? Well, he that lacks these things is blind, seeing only what is near, having forgotten the cleansing from his old sins. So if I don't have these things in my life, these seven things, then I'm blind. Now, Peter will use a word that Don's very familiar with. It's the Greek word from which we get our English word myopia, nearsightedness. And some of the newer versions have the word nearsightedness there, myopia. Literally meaning someone whose eyes are shut down. Think of maybe squinting or having your eyes almost shut. And so when that's the case, you only see what's up close. You can't really see out there because your eyes are... So the Greek word is myopia. Myoptic. When we don't have these things in our life as a Christian, we're spiritually short-sighted. We're spiritually nearsighted. We've forgotten the cleansing of our old sins. We're just living a worldly life, going through the motions. We don't see the big picture, as it were. Cleansing from our old sins, headed toward heaven, keeping the big picture in mind. I'm going to live faithfully so I can get to... I'm just living just what I can see day to day in my own personal world and life. And I'm not going to add these things to my faith. I'm not going to live the Christian life that I need to live. So I'm spiritually nearsighted. And then, verse 10. If you do these things, give the more diligence to make your calling and election sure. If you do these things, you shall never stumble. Look at that promise. That is a great promise. Never stumble. But we have to do these things, not list them, not post them, not memorize them, although all that's fine. Do them. We have to practice. Let's look at what that is. Verse 5. We've got to add to our faith verse 5, yea, and for this very cause, adding on your part all diligence, make every effort. In your faith, we all know what faith is, in your faith, supply virtue, arte, character. The noble character of living right each day according to the Word of God. We're going to live above the world, a righteous character. In your virtue, knowledge, we know what that is, the Word of God. And in your knowledge, self-control. And in your self-control, patience, this is steadfastness or endurance. In your patience, godliness, the fear of God, that we're going to live like Him. And in your godliness, brotherly kindness. And in your brotherly kindness, love. These are the things that need to be ours each and every day. We don't need to lack them. We need to be doing them. And when each and every one of these things is in our life each day, we will not stumble. If we don't have these things in our life, we'll stumble. And we don't have the certainty and the surety. So make the list and go down through it from time to time. And let's ask ourselves, am I virtuous and learning more of God's Word and self-controlled and patient and godly and the brotherly kindness and the love? And if I'm lacking in one of those areas, I'm really short-sighted and I need to make up for that by getting that back in my life. And when I do, I can have a calling and an election that is sure and certain. Peter says, if you do these things, they are to be practiced on a regular basis. We're to seek out opportunities where we can practice these things. You shall never stumble. What a great promise that is. Turn with me to the book of Jude. When we're living each day and we're not stumbling, that gives us the certainty that when Jesus comes again, we can be ready to go to heaven. And I'm here to tell you that God's going to do His part. We need God's help in this matter. We can't do it alone. And Jude reminds us that God is there to help us through His providence and answered prayers and other things that God does. He's going to help us. And He can keep us from stumbling. Jude says that. Now unto Him that is able to guard you from stumbling, the same word that Peter uses, to guard you from stumbling and to set you before the presence of His glory without blemish in exceedingly joy. God is able to guard you from stumbling. God is going to do His part. And we need to keep praying to God that He will help us. But brethren, Peter says, we need to do our part. We need to practice these things. And when we make the conscious decision to practice these things, we will never stumble. God will do His part, and we need to do our part. And when we walk each day with these Christian graces in our life, it keeps us walking spiritually sound. We don't fall. We don't falter. And just like we want certainty with regard to work and health and relationships, we can walk out this morning knowing that we are certain of our calling and our election. The calling God calls us, there are a number of passages in the New Testament that tell us that He calls us through the gospel. And when we obey that gospel, we are described as the elect. In fact, Peter will describe his audience in 1 Peter as the elect. We're chosen. And that calling and that choosing can be sure. We don't walk around with doubts. We don't walk around with uncertainties. Peter tells us that we must have a calling and an election that is sure. Number one, give diligence. And number two, make sure that these things, these graces are in our life each and every day. And then Peter says that you will be supplied entrance into the eternal kingdom. For thus shall be richly supplied unto you the entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I want you to note the word supply in verse 5, and Peter uses again in verse 11. This is an interesting word. And for those of you this morning that like anything music related, band, chorus, music, you'll like this word. This is the Greek word from which we get the English word chorus. In verse 5, Peter says that you need to supply. And then in verse 11, you'll be supplied entrance into the kingdom of heaven. The word is from which we get the word chorus, and give all diligence in verse 5 that in your faith supply virtue. It was a word that had to do with the chorus master who supplied provisions for the singers and the musicians to put on a performance. Interesting word. And so some versions have add or supply. In other words, you're going to put on your faith all of these things, make sure that they're there every day, make sure the supplies are there, make sure that the right elements are there for the Christian life. And if you do that, verse 11, God is going to supply you something. He's going to supply you entrance into heaven. Because every day you've been supplying things to your faith. When it comes time, He's going to supply entrance into heaven. What a beautiful thing. In other words, you've been working hard. You've been making every effort. And life is challenging from day to day. But you've been making every effort to add to your faith and supply those things. God sees that. And now it's ready to supply brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so that entrance. And notice in verse 11, he says, richly, richly supply. Heaven, I don't believe, is some little token of a reward. It will be a richly supplied realm. A beautiful realm. God's not going to give you the leftovers. God's not going to give you just dish out a little bit. Here you go, have it. It's going to be a lavish realm of beauty. And it'll make it all worth it. The ultimate state of a Christian is eternity in heaven. And Peter wants to remind his readers that that's where they're ultimately going to be. Because he knows that life can get us down. And it's a reminder that if you'll keep doing these things, these Christian graces, going down through each one of them every day and asking myself, am I this, virtue, knowledge, patience, self-control? I get to go to heaven. That's my ultimate goal. And it keeps us from getting sidetracked and bogged down on the things that are going on today. It's a reminder of our ultimate state and what a beautiful encouragement that is. So, as we close this morning, I want us to be sure and certain. Number one, because we're giving diligence, we're making every effort. And we are doing these things that God wants us to do. And I want to close with this point. If you look at 1 and 2 Peter and put them together, we can ask ourselves, why would Peter want to make this point here? Well, when you put 1 and 2 Peter together, you find that his readers were going through some things that we go through today. Human nature and circumstances of life are the same 2,000 years later. When you look, for example, at 1 Peter, every chapter in 1 Peter mentions the word suffering, every one of them. Brethren, we're going through trials and tribulations and suffering and persecutions. And Peter says, you can make your calling and election sure. When they read that verse right there, they're thinking, you know what? I can make it through this. It would be very hard for Christians living under Nero about the time that these letters are written, it'd be very difficult for them to live. But when they read that verse, they're thinking, you know, I can have entrance into the eternal kingdom. And I'm just going to keep going on through these problems. I can be sure and certain. And so eternal surety helps us to face troubles and trials. The second thing that eternal surety helps with is that we can stay away from any false teaching that is going to try to lead us astray. When you look at 2 Peter, that's a primary theme of 2 Peter, especially chapter 2 and part of chapter 3. There's false teachers out there. There's people that are trying to lead us astray with their doctrines. And if I know that I have a surety of heaven, I'm not going to be listening to that. I'm not going to be sidetracked by that. We've got all kinds of foolishness going on today. All kinds of doctrines and man-made things that are said that are completely off base with the truth of the Word of God. And when we are reminded of the surety of our calling and election, we're going to stay away from that. And you know, what's interesting about 2 Peter is that in chapter 1, in verse 10, he says, "You shall never stumble." But turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 2, the very next chapter. He talks about some Christians who stumbled. They didn't want to add the Christian graces and keep that in their life. And so, verse 20, after they escaped the defilements of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome. The last state has become worse with them than the first. And this is a passage that we read that talks about the possibility of apostasy and falling away. And instead of growing, they fall away. In the very same book where Peter says, "You shall never stumble," in the next chapter he gives an example of some Christians who are stumbling. So the choice is ours. And Peter says, the possibility is there, chapter 2. But you don't have to be like that. You can make your calling and your election sure. Well, I hope this morning we have been encouraged to know that there are some things in life that we can be certain and sure about. You know, I went to the doctor this past week, and you know how that is. You go in, and it always takes a day or two to get results, right? So during that time, you're like, okay, what's going on? You know, are my lipid numbers up, you know? Cholesterol numbers, good, bad. There's a day or two there, you know. And then you get the call, you know. "Hello, this is so-and-so from Dr. So-and-so." And then here we go. Here come the results. And you're uncertain until the results start coming in. And then when they come in, you're like, "I feel a lot better." And I'm selling sherry. Got some of the results. And I really feel better today, you know. And there's a couple that are still out there I'm supposed to hear, I guess, next week. But we want that certainty. We want that surety. And I'm here to tell you this morning that with regard to heaven and our relationship with God, we can all make our calling and election sure. There may be some things in life that we're not sure about, but going to heaven should not be one of them. And what an encouragement that Peter gives us. You know, this song that we sing, "Jesus Loves Me." Look at the very next three words. "This I know." This I know. And that's based upon the Word of God and other things that we've been talking about this morning. Let's go out and give that diligence. Make every effort. Let's go out and make sure that we're doing those things that make us a Christian. We'll never stumble. And God will richly supply, because you've been supplying in your life those necessary things. He's waiting to richly supply you entrance into that eternal kingdom. If someone this morning needs to respond to the gospel, putting on Christ in baptism, or if a child of God needs to come back in some way, if we can pray and help you in that way, let's do that. But let's go out this morning with that surety and that certainty. Let's stand and sing this invitation song.